He's a good God. Amen. He's a great big God. And he's getting bigger every day. As long as we allow him to be who he is, he's going to get real big. I've got a feeling Northeastern Ohio better get ready, because a big God is about to invade Northeastern Ohio, right? Amen. Amen. Well, it's great to have you again. Welcome. I want you to get your Bible out, if you will. I've got a message in my heart that I want to share with you this morning that I believe God has put in our spirit for such a time as this. It's in 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to this church. Many have called them the carnal church, the rebel church, the church that couldn't get it together. I guess I relate to that. But he said in 1 Corinthians, his first time writing, he said something in verses 1 to 3 that's absolutely incredible. Because when we look at this, we begin to see really what this is all about, the kingdom of God. It's not about rite, and it's not about ritual. It's not about observing the rules or regulations or even keeping the expectations of some denominational or hierarchy aristocrat. It is to tap into the very nature of God. And the nature of God is what it's all about. It's what the world has been missing. You know, I saw something in this political campaign, this midterm election this year. I saw a lack of love between the Democrats and the Republicans. Did you know they spent over $119 million in hate ads? Wow, that's amazing. You know, some people say, I love you, man, as long as I find out that you're not a Democrat or you're not a gay person or you're not addicted. I love you, man, as long as I know you believe what I believe. But you know what? That's not the way God loves. This is an incredible thing that we have to understand, that God loves unconditionally. I believe God loves Democrats, and he loves Republicans. He even loves you and me. Come on, think about it. This is what Paul said. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. Now, that's a good word for all you spiritualites out there. You know, some folks come to church. They don't walk in. They glide in. They're so spiritual. They come in talking in tongues and flapping their angel wings and talking about how they've seen Jesus. Woo, that can be so intimidating, can't it? Well, that's what Paul said. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Then he goes on to say this. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy, you know, those folks that can tell you where you had breakfast and where you're going to eat lunch, can give you your address, tell you about what God's going to do. And you think, wow, what do they see? I hope I don't have anything exposed here in front of them. They've got prophetic understanding. They could tell you mysteries. They've got all knowledge. But Jesus says this, and though they have all faith that they could remove mountains, but they don't have love, they're nothing. Absolutely nothing. So why is it that we have defined successful Christianity based on achievement in spiritual things instead of really looking for the love of God in the hearts of people? Goes on in verse 3 to say this, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, though you bought a backpack and filled it up for the homeless person, but if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. You know, a lot of people have said before that the God is love and that God loves people. And this is true. But you know, love isn't something that God does. Love is something that God is. That's what 1 John says, that God is love. He can't help himself. He is agape. And Jesus is the personification of that unsacrificial, that sacrificial and that unselfish love. Jesus is the expression of God's love on the earth. Now listen, church, if we could tap into this power source, we can go to another level of faith in Jesus. Because everybody wants to have more faith to do miracles, to speak to mountains, to be thou removed. faith to get more money, faith to get our health back, faith to get our families back. There's nothing wrong with that. But can I give you a secret? Galatians 5 and verse 6 says that faith works by love. So if we don't have this agape love operating in our life, we can make all the confessions we want to make. We can make declarations. We can shout. We can stammer. We can stay up all night and pray. We can believe God, believe God, believe God until there's no more breath in us. But if we don't have love, our faith is weak. So we need to look at this today and find out, what is the Apostle Paul trying to say to us in regards to the love of God? You see, people want to know today that if I come to your church, that I'm accepted regardless of my current condition. I need to know whether or not God has a plan for me, even though I'm not college educated, or I've been through 2, or maybe even 3, or maybe even 4 divorces. Can God still use my life? Or maybe you just got out of prison and nobody wants you around. You know, people sometimes are careful not to expose themselves or to give too much information because we have this conditional relationship in the body of Christ. Matter of fact, you know what I've heard? I've heard there are some Christians who don't get along with other Christians. Have you ever heard of that? I've even heard that there have been some churches that have gotten angry at other people in their church and left and went and started their own church and preached about God's love. It's an incredible thing that they can talk about God's love, but they can't do God's love. John was really telling us something about the love of God. He's saying we've got to take off all the qualifying factors off the lives of people. What people are looking for today in this hour, in this generation, is not more religion, because we've got plenty of that. And we've got a lot of hate in religion as well. What people are really looking for is authenticity of unconditional acceptance and love, and not necessarily having to prove myself to gain your acceptance. You know, that's a freeing relationship. And that's the kind of God we serve here today. We serve a God who is unconditional, who is sacrificial in his love, and he does not look for qualifications in our life. Now, Romans 5:5 says simply this. It's the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And you and I have to develop an intimacy with the Holy Spirit, because I want to learn to live the way God lives. I want to learn to love the way God loves. I don't want to look at one person and consider them a hopeless case. I don't want to look at one person and write them off. Or look at one situation and say, you know what? I'm done with that. You burnt your bridges with me. As far as I'm concerned, you can go elsewhere because I am done with you. I don't want that kind of an attitude. I don't want that kind of a spirit in my house. I don't want that kind of a spirit in my church. And I don't want to hang around so-called Christians who act like that when nobody's looking. What the world's really looking for is this agape that we hear about in John 3:16. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Where is that God? It's funny. We're building churches that even God doesn't attend. Because if God was there, there certainly would be more unconditional and sacrificial love. You see, this is a challenge for us today. It's to say, God, you know what? I can't do it. I can't love like that. There's no way. Did you see how she looked at me? She gets this attitude with me. You know, I have to admit, there are times in my life where I have to really check myself about the authentic love of God. There's sometimes I want to whoop people. I want to take teenagers by the ear and just squeeze it. You know, I stand at the door and I greet people, and every Sunday there's some young person that comes in and doesn't even look at me. I'm walking, I say, "Happy Sunday, how are you?" And they're like, I say, "What? There's something wrong with me?" So the next week they come in again. I see them, they're coming across the parking lot. I'm saying, "I'm going to get them today." And I stand right in front of them. I said, "Hey, how you doing? Happy Sunday. Why are you talking to me? Do I know you? I don't know you. Why are you interrupting my day? Leave me alone. Now, they don't say that, but they look like that. I've got to tell you, there's something that goes off inside me, and it's not agape. It's not I love you anyway. It's like, if I was your papa, I'd be whipping you right now for not talking to the preacher. Let me know that feeling. Yeah, yeah, you lost that loving feeling. You know, it's not natural to love unconditionally. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And I believe that you and I can attain to that level. And you know what's going to reverberate through this region? You know what's going to cause a revival in this place? It's not necessarily signs and wonders, because we prophesy, we can move mountains, we can begin to speak with the tongues of angels, we can do all that stuff, but don't have God's agape operating in our life. We are nada, zero, nothing. Amen. Look what goes on in the word in John 13, 34. This is crazy. When I look at this scripture, I think, God, you know what? You're asking for too much, because I don't think I can do this. And you're right, we can't. But through the Holy Spirit and God shedding abroad in our heart his love, we can. He says, a new commandment I give to you. Hey, would you like to read that with me? It's on the screen. Let's do it. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. Oh, man, I got to love you like God loves me? Are you serious? But you're ugly. But you don't act right. You're not of my ethnicity. You're not of my caliber. I am an elite person. I am Ivy League. I am separated from you. How can I love you the way God loves you? Ah, that must mean I have to die to me and allow Jesus to live in me. I must allow the love of God to be bigger in me. And until we reach that point with honesty and transparency before the Lord, this is what the Bible said. This is crazy, Del. He said, they're going to know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. Huh, that's weird. I thought it was just by going to church and saying, hey! Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. We are one in the Spirit. No, it's by our love one for another. In other words, I can love you the way God loves you. That means you have to. No, you have no qualifications. It's unconditional. Amen. I love you and ain't nothing you can do about it. You see, it's more than a cliche. It's more than a saying. It's the reality of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of this generation are fed up with religion that can't love people. I heard one pastor say to me, pastoring would be wonderful. I'd love to pastor if it wasn't for those people. How many know he needs a bath in the love of God, right? He needs to get back in the love of God. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says this, but this we know, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. God's calling us to a higher level of life. There's more to life than ourselves. There's more to this world than just our needs. There is a life to discover that operates in love that will cause our faith to go to a completely different dimension when you and I can tap into it. And it's easy to do when we yield to the Holy Spirit. Drop down to verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 13 with me just for a minute. I'm not going to keep you long, I promise. I know that we're going to get a lot of fun and festivities and all those things at the end of the service, but just hang in there with me for a minute and look at verse 7 in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says something about love. Now, there's about 12 or 14 characteristics in this chapter about love, but I want to focus on four. Here's what it says. Would you read it with me in verse 7? It says, love does what? Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, this is really a challenging statement. It says that it believes all things. It It hopes in all things. It endures all things. It has this expectation of something because it addresses everything. It says, in other words, all things. What does it believe? All things. What does it bear? All things. What does it hope? All things. What does it endure? All things. So it's so comprehensive. It covers every aspect of our life. If I can understand it, if I can tap into it, I believe I can be victorious in my life every day in every relationship that I'm engaged in. So I want to look at it. Just four little words. Four little words. The first one, say it with me, bears all things. Now, the word bears in the original Greek understanding is very unique because it talks to us as a definition. It says this, it means to cover, as a roof covers a house. So if love is like a roof covering a house, get that in your mind. Did you know that every season in your life will be a pleasurable one? How many know that you're going to go through some seasons that are not pleasurable? Matthew chapter 7 says sometimes the rain's going to fall and the wind's going to blow. The floodwaters are going to rise. Not everybody's going to like you. You know, until I came to that realization, I thought everybody would like me. I mean, I like me. But until I came to the realization that not everybody's going to like me, I realized something, that it doesn't matter who likes me or doesn't like me, as long as I know that God loves me. Now, this word bears is like a roof covering a structure. Can you imagine during a hurricane or a tornado? You've seen the pictures on television where this wind has come through and the roofs are lifted off the house and everything that was inside, the bedroom, the kitchen, the family room, you know, the Xbox 360, the computers, everything is exposed now to the elements and wasted. What Paul was saying is love covers, protects, shields, and guards to the exposure of life's unpleasantries and difficult times. You see, if I'm convinced that God loves me, then it doesn't matter if it's raining tribulation in my life. It doesn't matter if the floodwaters of betrayal are coming to my heart. I know that God's love for me will never change. And the reason this is important is because if my faith works through love, then the enemy is attempting to move me out of faith. And the way we move out of faith, ladies and gentlemen, is through trial and tribulation. When people dog us out, when people betray us, when we lose our job, when our health fails, when our money fails, we start thinking, God, what's going on? Lord, what's happening? And the enemy's using these things to move us out of faith. But if you and I are convinced that God's love covers, that God loves me in spite of what's going on. That's why Daniel chapter 3, the three Hebrew guys, you know, Daniel chapter 3, they were getting ready to be thrown into the furnace. Do you know that story? You can put it up on the screen there. They were getting ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and this is what they said. They said, if that be the case, our God, whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver us from your hand, O king. Now, this is something a man that knows God's love would say next. Look at the next verse. Verse 18. But if not, but if not, you got to get your love attitude. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up before us. In other words, it doesn't matter. He loves me. Oh, how he loves me. I don't care if I'm standing in the middle of the furnace and there's not one flame kindled upon me and I don't smell like smoke, or if I'm flipping and flopping in the pan like a piece of bacon. It doesn't change God's love. Come on, you got to look at somebody and say, he loves you. Therefore, if I'm going to love like God, I must cover the way God covers. That means I'm not telling everybody your business. Did you hear what she said? Did you know what they did? I saw them kissing Santa Claus. We want to expose people. We just want you to pray, brothers. We want you to know so you can pray. You are an agent of the devil. Love doesn't expose. Love covers. And it's time we learn how to cover one another and shield and protect. I think I will. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it not only bears all things, but it believes all things. I like this one. I like this one. And I heard something powerful at the Awakening Conference this week with John Melinde, right here in this building. And thank you all for hosting that, if you were here for that. So many times, the clouds of my own rebellion and sin have developed over my life. It's sort of like when God said, I'm going to destroy the earth because evil has come up before me. You know, when you've done wrong, when you messed up, and suddenly the clouds of God's wrath, he's about to come down on you, and all of a sudden, a rainbow appears. And God said, I love him. Oh, I love him. I don't know how many times. I would say more than two. I would say more than five. I would say maybe 1,000 times the rainbow has had to appear over my life when God said, I love you enough to save you from the wrath of my indignation because you are the object of my affection. God believes the best about us, church. He believes the best about us, and love always believes. The word believe simply means this. It means to push aside the disconcerting, disturbing, negative realities out of the way. It means to choose to see beyond the problem. To see beyond the problem. And agape never gives up on people. Agape believes that you're going to turn around. That this is your moment. That this is your day. That's why when we come to church, we ought to be so filled with expectation. Oh, this is the day. The person who was addicted gets free. The person who was in bitterness gets free. The person who was rejecting others is going to get free. Why? Because God always looks beyond the problem. See, that's why some of us have a hard time giving to homeless people. Get a job, dude. I mean, you know, I got to work every day, sucker. Go get a job. What the heck, man? You want a handout? They're working the system. That's what they're doing. They're working the system. Love looks beyond their current condition. Love doesn't evaluate their circumstance as to whether or not they're qualified for your compassion. I'm telling you, if we can ever tap into this level of love, our faith is going to take us to a place that is going to literally change the face of this nation. Not just this region. I'm talking about this nation. That's why you and I have got to make a commitment to the cause of Christ. That he loves people. He loves nations. He's got a plan for their lives. He's got a glorious future for every human being on the earth. And nobody is too far, too gone. Nobody's wasted. Nobody has gone too far and gone beyond the limits. Everybody is redeemable. Oh, that's a good place to shout and clap your hands. Everybody is redeemable. Hallelujah. That's what believes all things means. Then he said, hopes. Hopes all things. The word hope means constant and continuous hope. Constant and continuous hope. Hope not only expects it, but it's filled with anticipation to see the manifestation of it. Hope. I am hoping. I am expecting. Listen, it's not always going to be like this. You're not always going to be in this condition. You're not always going to have this depression. You have a bright future. You have a great tomorrow. You have a God that's for you, not against you. I'm so excited to see your face when it all comes to pass. Whoa, don't miss church Sunday because it could be this week. That's what love does. Love just hopes all things, no matter what the condition. That's why Jeremiah said, I know the plans that I have for you. He didn't look at it and qualify the person where they were currently. I believe some of the greatest entrepreneurs are in a homeless shelter this morning. I believe some of the greatest preachers are recovering from an alcohol overdose last night. I believe that some of the greatest servants of the house of God being used by the gifts of the Spirit to bring healing in the lives of others are lying with 10 men. I'm not looking at that as saying you're unqualified for the plan of God. Aren't you glad he didn't look at you and say you're unqualified? You're not good enough. You don't measure up. You'll never make it. This is a message of great hope. It hopes all things. That's the powerful word of God and the message of hope, like in Romans chapter 4 with Abraham. Abraham hoped against all hope. Who, contrary to hope, believed. So became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I got to tell you right now, I don't care if you come in here with your pants on the ground. And an attitude to go with it. There are times I walk through the hallway at church, you know, and there's teenagers talking. And I walk by, and I'm their pastor. So I say, hi, how are you guys? And they look at me like I'm interrupting them. Like, did you see we were talking? Like, why are you talking to me? I'm like, how many know what I'm talking about? Or you go to help somebody out. Holy Spirit spoke me that I'm supposed to help pay this medical bill for you. Would you take the check? They say, oh, thank you. That's so nice of you. I appreciate it. And then you hear a week later how they came angry at you because you didn't give them enough to pay the whole bill. And inside you're going, "Arr!" The old nature struggles with the new nature. The new nature says, hopes all things. Cover them. Believe and look beyond the problem. And inside you're going, I want to, God, but if I get my hands on them, I'm going to commit murder. To hope all things is to love always and expect or anticipate the best in others and the best for others. When I come to church, it's not about what's best for me. Dude, dudette, it's what's best for you. That's what it's all about. This is what's best for you. Oh, you want this seat? You can have this seat. You know, some of the meanest people go to church. I remember 1995 for our dedication of our other building. Bishop T.D. Jakes was our guest speaker. The bishop was in the house. People began lining up outside of our church, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There were lines wrapping around the whole church. We opened the doors an hour before. They didn't walk in. They ran in like a herd of elephants. You should have seen some of those mamas. They came in there elbowing each other. You thought you were at Kmart with the blue light blinking. I mean, it was ridiculous. They sat down in the chair. My seat. It felt like you were playing that game. What do you call that game? Where you take one chair away, musical chair. My seat. No, that's my seat. Get off my seat. Whoever's the biggest rump gets the seat. You know what I'm talking about? You got big rump, baby. Get out of here. And so my ushers came to me and they said, Pastor, we got a problem in the church. Well, there's a big problem. There's two ladies. They went to fisticuffs. They're fighting in the church. I said, what are they fighting about? One woman said, the other woman took her seat. I said, wait a minute. This is church service, preaching God's love. And this woman's whooping this other woman right in the house of God. We had to break up the fight. This is a true story. Look at your neighbor and say, he is not exaggerating. He's not embellishing the truth. Say with me, bears all things. Say believes all things. Say hopes all things. And then my last point, and then the drawing. And don't be mad if you don't win. I'm so happy for you. We would never admit that. Not till we get to the car. Endures all things. A compound Greek word. I have my Greek scholars sitting here in the third row, so they're going to help me. Go to the first Greek word, please. It's meno and meno. Am I saying it right? M-E-N-O. How do you say that? M-E-N-O. It means under. Oh, hupo. I'm sorry. H-U-P-O. How do you say that? Hupo. I said it right. Yeah. Well, Rosie, last week you told me I didn't say it right. Okay. Yeah, it's agape. Agape? Agape. All right. So I made a mistake. All right. It's endures comes from two Greek words. Hupo, meaning under, and Mino? Mino, meaning to stay or abide. So if love endures all things, love under to stay. Now that's why the translators use the word endure. In other words, love stays loyal to the placement of God. Now watch this. Regardless of the pressure, stress, tribulation, or the opinions of others, or the trial, or the trouble that I'm in, I'm not moving. Now, this is a word for parents. If God made you to be a father, stay a father. Even if she's acting like a witch. You don't disown your children. You don't step out from what God put you into. You see, God's made me a father. He's made me a pastor. He's made me a husband. He's made me a friend. And what I understand about God's love is I remain a friend even when my friends betray me. I'm going to be your friend. Even if you say, I don't like you, and your preaching stinks, and I'm going to another church, I have to say, well, go to heaven. I almost slipped. My old nature almost came out. And I almost put you where the devil wants you. I have to remain a pastor who loves, who believes all things, who hopes all things, who can endure all things, who can bear all things. In other words, I'm not getting out of my assignment regardless of the circumstances around me. Love endures. How do you know that, preacher? How do you know that for sure? Because Jesus Christ, when he hung upon the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, he hung upon the cross, and he was there, nailed there for our sins. And even though they rejected him, even though they despised him and spat on him, even though they talked about him, even though they betrayed him, what did he do? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What he was doing is love endured. Love stayed on the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels and he could have annihilated the entirety of all of humanity, but he chose to stay in the place of a redeemer. I don't know how many times people have hurt you, talked about you, walked out on you. Stay in the place of a friend. Stay in the place of a husband. Stay in the place of a wife. Stay in the place as a daughter and as a son who's honoring their mother and father. Stay in the place where God has placed you. And the only way we can do that is if we are filled with the love of God. Now let me conclude with this question. When's the last time you became a roof for somebody? When's the last time, in spite of the pain, you stayed in your place and said, "I love you anyway"? I don't agree with you, sweetheart. Sweetheart, listen, I don't agree with your lifestyle. I don't approve of your decisions, but I'm going to tell you something. Nothing you ever do will change the fact that I am your father and that I will love you forever, unconditionally. Love covers multitude of sin. And if I have to walk backwards with the cloak to cover your nakedness, then that's what I'll do. I dare not point out your faults and your weaknesses. I dare not let anybody see you at a weak moment. Because if I do, then I really don't love you. When is that last time that you became a covering for someone? I have a little confession that I want us to declare together. It's up on the screen. I think if you can put it up there, guys, ladies, who's ever back there, I can't see that far. But put the confession up there that I have for love. There it is. Would you just say this with me today with heartfelt commitment to agape? Ready? I confess that God's love operates mightily in my life. Because I purpose to walk in agape love, I protect, shield, guard, cover, and conceal and safeguard others from harm and exposure. The love of God in my heart compels me to strain forward with all my might to believe the very best of others in every situation and the best about every person. The love of God in my heart never quits, never surrenders, and never gives up on others. I bear all things, I believe all things, I hope all things, and I endure all things. Church, as we aspire to that level of life, then Galatians 5 and 6 becomes a reality. Our faith works by that commitment. Our faith works by that commitment. And when you know that God loves you and nothing you could ever do will change that, it will keep you in the place of faith. Today, religion has betrayed us. Churches have told people, because you don't attend my church, you don't believe our doctrine, because you dress differently, because you don't sing our songs, because you don't act like us, because you're not of our camp. That is from the bowels of hell. God loves us even if you're a Presbyterian or a Pentecostal. God loves us even if you're part of the faith movement or you're still a doubter. God loves us whether you can quote Genesis through Revelation, or whether you don't even have a Bible, God's got a great plan for your life. And church, once we get this in our spirit and we begin to operate this way, there will not be room to contain the love of God. What an opportunity we have. Would you with me just lift your hand to heaven and sing, He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Even if I can sing out of key, He doesn't care. You might care, but He doesn't care, because He loves me, right? Would you like to sing that one more time on key? All right, let's try it.
He loves me.
When you got up this morning and didn't want to go, He loves you. Oh, how He loves. Even when you told your wife, I don't want to go to church, it's too long, it's too loud, and it's too emotional, He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. I don't believe in God. I don't believe the Bible is even true. I've been through all kinds of trouble in my life, and surely God doesn't even care. I shake my fist in the face of God. I've cursed. I've turned my back on the Word of God, and I've even walked out of church. He loves you. Was looking. I didn't really care about heaven. I smoked my cigarette, got high on my joint. I don't really care about your God. So take that. He loves you. Boyfriend, yeah, we get it on. I like sex. Ha, what do you think of that? I'm not even married. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. He loves you. Oh, He loves. There's nothing you can do. Come on, stand up.
loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the wave of His wind and mercy.
Ooh, think about it.
When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by
today, Father, that they would come to You to know Your great, great love for us. Jesus, reveal Yourself today to them in a relationship, a covenant that was made at Calvary. We ask this morning, Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Now, there may be people in this room that have never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I don't know what you're waiting on. Maybe you thought you weren't qualified. Well, join the group. We all felt that way. But when we found out that God loves us in spite of all that we have done and who we've become, we were willing to come to Him. And if you're willing today, He will save you. He will fill you with His love, and He will change your life. So if that's your heart's prayer and desire today, would you pray this prayer with me? Let's all pray it together. Make it easy for everybody, shall we? Come on, say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your love that You demonstrated at Calvary. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for being raised from the dead, ascending into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And You're my soon coming King. I ask You to forgive me of all my sin. Save me, Jesus. I promise from this day forward to serve You and only You. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I surrender to You. Fill me with Your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Now at the conclusion today, we'll have people standing along the front with materials to give you. But right now, I want to celebrate a little bit. Is it okay? I know it's getting a little bit late. The Browns are already winning. They're going to win. Don't worry about it. He loves the Cleveland Browns too. Amen? Okay, Danny, are you ready? You ready? So where's our folks that are going to do the giveaways? Come on up here, Pastor Troy and Adrian. How many know that it's time to celebrate? Put your hands together. Come on. Woo!
celebration. So let's go on, yeah. And have a good time.
Celebration.
We're gonna celebrate and have a good time. Time to come together. It's up to you. What's your pleasure?
Celebration time, come on.
Let's celebrate. Come on now.
Celebration time, come on.
Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. It's all right. Come on now. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's all right. Everybody can say, we're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's all right. Yeah, yeah. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's all right. Have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's all right. Come on now. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's all right.
Okay. Now, I know some of you probably came this morning and you think, oh my gosh. But if you would, just for a minute, let's endure the giveaways, all right? So you can have a